A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Rick Travis from the California Rifle and Pistol Association here in just a couple of minutes. We don't quite know what the generality, yeah, we know what the anti-gun agenda is in California in 2026, right? It is to infringe on our right to keep and bear arms. But we don't know what specific bills are going to be offered. We do have some good news, though, about many of the bills that were introduced in 2025. And Rick's going to join us to talk about that here in just a second. Before we do get started, though, I want to make a note of something. We were talking about the Gundy Awards on Monday's program, and I mentioned the fact that John Petrolino nominated for Best Writer, Mark Walters nominated for a Gundy. I'm nominated for a Gundy under the Best Podcast or Podcast of the Year. But also, Bearing Arms contributor Tom Knighton is up for a Gundy for Best Writer as well. I am conflicted because two of our writers at Bearing Arms are actually up for that same award. So I can't play favorites, but I would tell you, you've got options. Now, if you want to support the Bearing Arms and the Gundies, you can choose between John Petrolino and Tom Knighton for a Best 2A Writer. I'm just happy that they're both writing for Bearing Arms. All right. With that out of the way, let's talk to Rick Travis from the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Take a look and a listen. Rick, thanks very much for coming on the program. It's good to see you.
It's always good to see you, Cam.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and I know that you are already getting ready for 2026. We've got a month to go, but, the anti-gunners, they're always up to something in California, and I know that there are going to be a lot of bad bills introduced in the new session, but let's talk about what has been going on in Sacramento, because you and I were talking off air yesterday, and it sounds like a lot of bad bills are done for the year.
Yeah, so this is really weird. It shouldn't be. So I'm just going to say that to everybody. Anybody in another state would probably be like, how's this weird? But normally, as you know, in previous conversations, we have a committee called Appropriations in both houses of government where they say, do we have money? Which is a joke in California, because if you look at the budget, we're always in the red. We never have money. We're always billions of dollars in debt. And yet, bad bills, especially under 2A, always pass. This year, there's been this crisis of, are we $2 billion, $30 billion, $100 billion? I mean, it's been all over the map, which that alone tells you a lot about how this state is ran. Mm-hmm. But it came down, and during this time of the year, I normally am calling different offices going, so are you going to try to dig this bill out as a two-year bill? So we have a two-year session. So bills introduced in the odd year, if they don't quite make it through appropriations, Cam, they can be brought up in the first 2 weeks of January, which is really hard to fight against because all of our people are kind of asleep at the wheel because they've been at holidays. It's all understandable. And that's right. When they get really sneaky. And so I called up Catherine Blake Spear, who had one of the most egregious bills last year, Senate Bill 15, that we were able to stop in appropriations. But I'm thinking, oh, she's going to bring this out because she can get pretty much cleared without me even being able to testify against it, the way the rules are set up. And her office is like, no, that bill's dead. And I talked to one of the people in the office. I'm like, okay, we're pretty good acquaintances. Why? And she goes, we don't have money. And I started to laugh. And she goes, don't laugh. Literally, we don't have money. And so the bill's dead. And we don't know if we're even going to bring up anything in the next year. And I was like, that's interesting, but I'm not trusting of that. And so, then I went to Zabur because he had 1333, which we had talked about, which was the bill that was going to remove everybody's castle doctrine from them in California that we had gotten killed, but it had been held up in the two-year file. And I was like, oh, no, you're not bringing that one. And they're like, nope. In fact, their office as legislative director is like, and CRPA should have nothing to worry about from our office in 26. And I was like, so then, Cam, you do what you do. You're like, hey, the fire's hot, so I'm going to go strike, and all eight anti-2A bills are gone. I'm talking the unsafe handgun bill, the malign concealed carry bill, 1006, the firearm safety certificate bill, the Castle Doctrine, which was 1333, the intimidation bill on all the crud to firearms new owners and people that inherited firearms, that's gone, and the do not sell list. is gone. All gone.
Wow.
And yeah, and it happened over a two-day period where both houses were just like, it wasn't just our bills. I mean, to be fair, there are hundreds of bills across the spectrum that just, yeah, we don't have the money. Dead, dead, dead. And I can tell you, too, the new bills that are being looked at across the board, including in our space, they're being very careful when it comes to the finances on them.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting, because that's never happened before.
Yeah, look, as you say, you know, politicians, even if the money's not there, they're never out of money, right? I mean, look at the federal government. So the fact that this is happening, and it's happening across the board.
Yeah.
And you're already hearing these lawmakers, not even the lawmakers, we're hearing their staffers.
Yeah.
Tell you, yeah, this is, you don't have to worry about us next year, too. I mean, that really, I got to tell you, I mean, if you're a Californian, it's good news on one hand, but it's also troubling on the other, because it indicates that you guys may be headed for a fiscal cliff here before long. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I'm curious, do you think this is going to have any impact on existing measures that either have not yet taken effect? I'm thinking like the Glock ban bill, for example. Right. You know, that's been passed. It's been signed into law, but it hasn't officially gone into effect yet.
I think there could be some regulatory issues when there's monies involved.
Yeah.
I also think, like in the Glock case, Glock has got some movement it's doing in the background. So who knows how that's going to completely shake out. But I also think part of this could also be Newsom is trying. I mean, he's obviously running for president in the next cycle. So part of this is probably him going like, we don't have to pass these. We don't have the money. It's a win-win for me. Like, don't pass them. No new anti two-way thing. So I think this could be a little bit of that game board being played. And the other part of it, too, is I think a lot of these groups, you know, some we haven't talked a lot about in our community, but we watched the funding be cut when USAID got cut. And in California, I can tell you that was huge, because I went from facing 60, 70 women who were being paid to be there to like five. And that's a very big different optic in a Capitol building when, you know, before Sam Prentiss, my dear friend, passed away, when it was just two or three of us in the room versus 70, three versus five. It's a total different look. And so I think that may be part of it, too, because they just have not had the numbers of people on the Capitol. I haven't had to go around a lot of the we've done a lot of work at CRPA, getting into offices, having multiple Capitol days and really educating people. And I'm not saying that we've turned the tide. I don't want to portray that, but I think there's a little bit of there's not as much money for the politicians in this area right now. And I think they're going after, you know, there's big housing and oil crises and other things in the state that have a lot of money attached to them. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of movement in that area. But I think right now they're kind of like laying. Now, my fear is this also gives them, if they truly don't really come at us hard in 26, that means they're rebuilding. Those organizations are going to be trying to figure out ways to fund, and we're going to get hit hard in 27. So I'm anticipating, I'm prepared for 26 to be bad, but if we get a break, I'm prepared for 27 to be really hard hitting, because at that point, all the politicians have been reelected. They have nothing to lose with being obnoxious.
Right. Yeah. And as you say, I mean, I didn't really think about that, but with 26 being an election year, and these legislators are looking for campaign cash, you go where the money is, right? And if the spigot from the gun control outfits have dried up as a result, by the way, of yanking that USAID funding, which I find again very interesting, then maybe gun control is not as a priority as it has been in years past.
And we have a lot of elections in California, even amongst Democrats, that are like, we're talking less than 500 votes. So elections for statewide where you're like less than 500 votes, those staff and those election teams are being extremely cautious.
Interesting. Do you think there's going to be any sort of push to look for ways to implement gun control laws that don't have a fiscal impact? And what would those, I mean, I don't even know what those laws would look like, because it seems like.
Yeah, I think we're going to see much more fights at the local level.
Okay.
Yeah, like on storage and things like that. So that's going to cause some pivoting on our end. But, you know, and the problem with the local fight, and this is a national problem, Cam, is that you know, we have the Ralph M. Brown Act, and we have a couple other acts and states that require notice, but that notice has been watered down to, you know, putting it inside of like your utility bill. Well, most of us, if we still get a paper utility bill, open it up to look at the bill, we don't look at all the other junk mail. But in that junk mail is often where they place, hey, we're going to come up with a storage law. We're going to add things to where you can and can't carry. That's where they notice it, because it's legal for them to do that. It's been upheld in the courts. But our group of people, we don't read those things. And if you get it electronically, you definitely aren't going, oh yeah, now that I paid my bill, let me read all the attachments that were there. You don't do that.
Yeah.
And so that becomes very, very hard for any organization to fight, because obviously, you know, CRPA, we have a huge state with 58 counties and multiple cities. We don't get those bills. So unless somebody calls and says, hey, by the way, city council in a week is doing this, we're often reacting to what's been done instead of proactively stopping it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds like a call to action for CRPA members and California gun owners in general, that, you know, you could be the eyes and ears in Sacramento, but they need to be your eyes and ears.
Correct.
At the city council, at the, you know, board of supervisors or county commissioner meetings, the zoning boards, because we've seen, you know, efforts to zone gun stores out of existence in multiple cities across California. So there is a role. I mean, again, you know, you talk about the holidays. We're all kind of distracted right now, and I get it. But, you know, there is a role for all of us to play in being a watchdog for our Second Amendment rights.
And it goes well beyond, because, you know, through Chuck Michelle, our president, I work with the Second Amendment Law Center, and we're seeing this crop up throughout the Western Rocky states and things like this same tactic. And so I'm really trying to get out to people and say, hey, this isn't just California. I mean, California, we have our stuff and we're all working on it. But these organizations, especially the national ones that come into California, like Giffords, like Brady, because they're not homegrown, they're taking those lessons and they're using them in other parts of the country. And other parts of the country have been under this idea of, like, we can't get hit because we're not California. Yeah, that's starting to happen now. So I'm telling people, wake up and be cautious and check that out, because there's a lot of very twisted people when it comes to the Constitution.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is one of the major efforts we're seeing around the country right now. You know, California does not have firearms preemption law, like, unlike most states. Right. But you know, the gun control lobby is working very hard to undo preemption, right? And they've done that in Colorado. They weakened it 6 years ago in Virginia. I'm afraid they're going to do away with it entirely when Democrats take complete control of state government next month. And again, that allows them to expand their playing field, right? Because now we're not having to defend against a bad state law. Now we're having to defend against a dozen bad local ordinances, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's a challenge for us, undoubtedly.
Yeah, it's very much a challenge. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to caution people. The devil's in the details, and they've learned to use those details.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there is some good news some historic good news to report.
Yeah.
Again, you've been at the Capitol for a long time. When you say I've never seen anything like this, that says something, Rick.
Yeah. No, I haven't. And when the first person said something, I was laughing. I called two other friends of mine that lobby on the hunting side. I'm like, check this out. They said, no, Rick, there's a couple of the bad hunting bills that just died for the same reason. I'm like, what? And then we all dove into it. Yeah, that's what's going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will check back in with you here in a couple of weeks. When can bills for the 26th session get introduced?
They'll be introduced the second week of January. We did get one bill out. That was a two-year bill. That was our Assembly Bill 1092 that takes us from 2 to 4 years on the CCWs. So that's still alive. So, and that was also historic when I looked at Chuck and said, like, all these bad bills died, but yet we kept our good bill alive. So there's that. I'm hopeful that we'll get that one out of committee, get it moving forward, and that will bring some relief to a lot of people in California, as far as fees and stuff like that goes.
Yeah.
And we've got some really aggressive bills that we've got authors for. We're just waiting for the numbers, and then I can share those with you. But yeah, we're pushing back.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, again, on the concealed carry front, you're pushing back in a couple of different areas, right? You've got that bill to expand the licenses from 2 to 4 years, but you're also fighting the excessive fees that are being charged in some of these counties where, you know, got to fork over $2,000 to get your concealed carry license when you add in the cost of training and everything. It's absolutely absurd. Yeah. All right. Well, let's check back in a few weeks with you, Rick, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'd love to do that. I always love to see you, Cam.
Well, it's always good talking with you too, my friend. If we don't talk before then, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But I have a feeling we may be touching base again before the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we will. God bless you, brother.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for being on the program today. Rick Travis from the California Rifle and Pistol Association here on Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. My thanks to Rick for joining us on the program. Looking forward to having him back here in a couple of weeks, although, yeah, not looking forward to seeing what the anti-gunners in California are up to. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Beaumont, Texas. Not a recidivist report, I guess. I think this was a first-time offender, but it's one of those head-scratching sentences. Beaumont man sentenced to probation for shooting at neighbor during fireworks dispute. Shooting at a neighbor. Not shooting while a neighbor was around. 46-year-old James Boswell pleaded guilty to firing multiple shots at his neighbor and the neighbor's brother after shouting racial slurs at them during a July fireworks dispute. It was the day after Independence Day, July 5th, in Beaumont, Texas, where Boswell allegedly fired multiple shots at his neighbor and his neighbor's brother. The incident began, according to 12 News in Beaumont, when the victim and his brother were lighting fireworks in their driveway. Boswell then walked outside, started yelling racial slurs at them, according to a probable cause affidavit. As the argument escalated, Boswell then pulled out a gun, fired twice into the ground, according to the affidavit, then drove his tractor onto the neighbor's property and dumped trash onto the neighbor's property before returning to his own yard, where he fired several more shots at the two men. The victim's brother told police he heard shots fly by him before he fled in fear for his life. Officers found bullet holes in nearby trees. Multiple witnesses reported seeing Boswell holding a gun. Ring doorbell footage captured the sound of gunshots. Police arrested Boswell at the scene. Jefferson County Grand Jury later indicted him on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. But prosecutors offered him a plea deal. Why not? I mean, you've got eyewitness testimony. You've got surveillance footage. Why not offer him a plea deal instead of taking this case to trial? Judge Raquel West expressed reluctance about the deal, according to 12 News, saying, "You're lucky that I'm going along with this agreement because I don't really like it. I don't like what you did. I don't like how you treated those people. I don't like what you did to those children." I'm not sure what the children were involved here, but, and I tell the judge, listen, if you don't like the plea deal, don't go along with it. Don't accept it. Don't say that somebody who shot at other people can get away with probation. Don't send that message. You're the judge. You have the power to say, no. But she didn't. And so he is prohibited from possessing firearms, among other things, for the next 6 years while he is on probation. If he does not violate the law during that 6-year time, then, yeah, no worries. If he does violate the terms of his probation, he could face between 2 to 20 years in prison in each case. Given the generous nature of this plea deal, I'd say that the 2 years more likely than the 20, but we'll see. Hopefully, Mr. Boswell will take advantage of this gift that he has been given, stay on the right side of the law, and stay away from his neighbors going forward. But I was just gobsmacked when I saw that sentence from the Lone Star State of Texas. On to today's armed citizen story from Kalamazoo, Michigan, where the Kalamazoo PD says a 60-year-old shot a man in self-defense after he was allegedly attacked by a shovel-wielding assailant. The police department says they dispatched officers around 5:30 Sunday evening for a reported assault with a shovel and a shooting. When they arrived on scene, they found a 49-year-old man suffering from a gunshot wound, a 60-year-old man who had fired the shot. It was the 60-year-old who actually called 911 after shooting the 49-year-old. Investigators with the Kalamazoo PD say that the 60-year-old man had been returning a ladder to a home there in the area. After he returned the ladder, the 49-year-old man approached him with a shovel, told him to leave the area, and then pushed the 60-year-old man, hit him with the shovel, at which point the 60-year-old man drew a legally owned and registered firearm and fired twice, hitting the 49-year-old man once. Then, again, the 60-year-old man called 911, stayed at the scene until officers arrived. Kalamazoo PD says the man cooperating with the investigation has not been arrested. Law enforcement able to uncover video of the incident that they believe corroborates the story of acting in self-defense. The 49-year-old who was shot, taken to a local hospital. At last report, he is listed as stable. The investigation is ongoing, though. The results of this investigation will be turned over to the Kalamazoo County Prosecutor's Office for a further review. But again, at this point, all indications are the 60-year-old man was telling the truth. And that this was a lawful act of self-defense. Why this 49-year-old man would accost somebody just for being in the area, returning the ladder or not. I mean, you've got the right to walk down a sidewalk, much less hit him with a shovel. It's a mystery. And hopefully we get to hear from the 49-year-old at some point. But, I mean, yeah, you are where you have a right to be. You get hit with a shovel, clearly that individual means you harm, and you do have a right to protect yourself under those circumstances. Today's good deed of the day from Miami, Florida. We are just jaunting around the country with these stories here. Texas, Michigan, now Florida. Good Samaritan rescues driver, passenger after truck rams through tree, crashes into boat on the Miami River. This was a screen grab of the video there showing the truck in the water from Channel 7 in Miami. They report that it was two City of Miami employees inside that truck. It was a City of Miami waste management truck, plowed through a fence, knocked down a tree, clipped a boat, parked at a dock around noon on Monday. Mauricio Flores, who was just a witness to the scene, says, "We're about to leave the marina. We heard like an explosion." The vehicle started to sink. The two women inside were trying to escape. Flores said, "You know, we were in shock. It's not a normal situation." Rafael Valdez dove into the water, was able to break open the driver's side window of the truck, was able to pull both women out of the truck as the vehicle began to sink. And Flores said, "You know, for me, he's the hero of the day. Two women are alive because of him." I would agree with that completely. Valdez spoke with 7 News about his actions. He said, "I feel good that I got there in time." 18 stitches he got after breaking that truck window. The crash caused widespread damage to both the marina as well as the boat that was struck. The boat's owner, Roberto Alarcon, said a car coming just jumped my boat. Apparently, the driver lost control of the pickup, smashed to his docked charter boat before going down into the water. His vehicle's got a gaping hole in it, too much damage. He's going to be filing an insurance claim because he can't use his boat. He's he's a charter captain, so he's losing his livelihood in the meantime. According to Miami police, it's unclear what the women were doing at the marina and what caused them to crash. Even if you lose control of the vehicle, at some point you think you slam on the brakes. I don't know, but hopefully we'll get more information. And regardless of the circumstances, these women are alive and well today because of the quick thinking and fast actions of Rafael Valdez there in Miami, Florida. And we thank him for his very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. I'm looking forward to seeing you back here again on Wednesday with more of the latest Second Amendment news and information. Also, don't forget on Wednesdays, 1:30 Eastern, we do our VIP Gold live chat with our VIP Gold and Platinum members. Would love for you to be a part of that. Hopefully, you took advantage of the Black Friday sale from Town Hall Media where you could get 60% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership, and if you sign up for a VIP Platinum membership, became eligible for one of 5 lifetime VIP memberships. But if not, you do still have time to sign up. The 5 lifetime memberships, can't get those right now, but you still can get 60% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership when you use the promo code FIGHT at bearingarms.com/subscribe. If you are a VIP Gold and Platinum member, you'll get all of these great benefits throughout the Town Hall media empire, right? So not just Bearing Arms, but townhall.com, Hot Air, Red State, PJ Media, Twitchy. I think that's it. And again, ad-free experiences, content you won't find anywhere else. It's just a great deal. And again, 60% off when you use the promo code FIGHT. All right. I will also be on Newsmax in the 6 p.m. Eastern hour this evening with Carl Higbee around 6:45, talking 2A Tuesday topics, if you get a chance to check that out. In the meantime, have a great rest of your 2A Tuesday. Looking forward to seeing you here again tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.